Welcome back to Octopod, everyone. My name is Allie, and I'm here with Ray today.
Hello, everyone.
And as per usual, we have some ocean-related news to chat with you all about. Again, as I mentioned last episode, we are produced by Octo. So just so you all know, open communications for the ocean. You can go to octogroup.org to find out more about our organization. And I am going to start off with some, in my opinion, very sad news, and for America at least, and I guess the whole world. And that news is that Trump, President Trump, has withdrawn from the Paris Climate Accord. So it'll actually take a year from now to fully withdraw, but he did notify the community, the international community, Monday that he does plan to withdraw the U.S. officially from the Paris Climate Accord. And so that would happen next fall. And that would leave the U.S. as the only nation to abandon this effort to combat climate change. And we are the second largest emitter of greenhouse gases in America. So this would not be a great move in terms of it wouldn't look good to other countries. They might also start abandoning if we abandon. They might get, you know, angry that we're not doing our part, which I know a lot of Americans are angry that we're not doing our part. But essentially, the United States can now officially leave the agreement starting on November 4th, 2020. And that would be the day after next year's presidential election. And we couldn't immediately rejoin, depending on who got elected. We couldn't immediately do it. We'd have to wait for a certain amount of time before rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement. And this is not great for the ocean or the planet. The world has already warmed more than about 1 degree Celsius above pre-industrial levels. And this agreement was setting goals to keep the planet's warming below a rise of 2 degrees Celsius and some other levels there. But apparently we're not going to meet that since we're leaving. Thanks, America. So a lot of people have been saying this is irresponsible and dangerous. I said that in quotes, given the increasingly dire scientific warnings about rising sea levels, more extreme weather, and devastating effects on agriculture and wildlife. Yeah, the temperatures rise, our sea levels rise. Ocean acidification is also connected. There's a lot of bad things that can happen to the ocean here and the creatures that live in it. So there's my sad news for today. Trump's doing not nice things.
When has he done a nice thing?
That's a good question. Nothing springs to mind.
I mean, my question with this is, so the impeachment process is happening right now, right? So if he gets impeached before this year's up, could we be like, oh, never mind, and stay within it?
I think we could, because all you have to do is you have to notify a year before you actually leave, or the country, every country can do this. You notify the year before you actually leave the agreement, and then you can leave the agreement. So I think that if it was impeached, we wouldn't actually fully have to leave the agreement, but I'm not entirely sure about that. But I think it would take too long. I mean, he's just going to take a long time to impeach him. So yeah. If he's even impeached, so he'd be in the next election cycle anyway, because we would be leaving the day after the election.
How annoying is that?
Yeah.
It's like, even if he doesn't get impeached, and let's hope he doesn't win next election, but if he loses, we will still be out of the climate agreement, if the next president would want America to remain. But then you have to hope that our next president would just sort of follow it without having to be officially in it.
Right.
But would...
And I don't think...
Just sort of enact everything around it anyways.
And I don't think it would take too long to get back in it. I didn't actually see how long it takes, but it would be a shorter time. And I mean, hopefully the next president, hopefully it isn't Trump, not to share all of our political beliefs on this podcast, but hopefully the next president takes renewable energy a little bit more seriously. Hopefully the next president believes in renewable energy and in climate change, and they follow along with what President Obama was doing. They go back to those environmental regulations that were available, that were happening before Trump took office and stopped a lot of them.
Yeah. We can only hope.
We can only hope. Yeah, and the next president could reverse a lot of executive orders very quickly. So
absolutely, just like Trump did. It can be done the other way too.
So things could change. We lost a lot of time, and we will continue to lose a lot of time in fighting climate change. But hopefully, things will turn around. All right. Enough about Trump. People. Let's talk about marine protected areas. Ray, go.
Yes. Thank you so much. So this is Ray, as Allie said, and as I've said before. But I'm going to be giving you two news articles today. And the first one would be, yes, about marine protected areas. And the second one will be sort of a precursor to marine protected areas, but studies going into what would create one. So the first article is, do marine protected areas help or harm local communities? And this is by Geographical. So this article, I feel, brings up an important area within the MPA community that needs to be further addressed. I've seen some papers on this topic, but not that many. And that is how MPAs affect the communities they are closest to. Some research present shows positive impacts, such as more money and more jobs, but others show that it can cause strife between different communities that surround the same MPA. I like this article because it points towards the gaps on those topics, like the impacts MPAs have on cultural diversity or on the mental health of the community surrounding them. And those topics need a lot more information. And it's critical to remember that in marine conservation, we're not just trying to conserve the marine environment, but also the people who are present and who live off of those environments, right? Because without local efforts, conservation will definitely fail. I hope to see some of those studies come out in the future. So this article was really just a reminder that as scientists, we need to remember that people are directly involved in all environments, including marine environments, and their ideas and their feelings and beliefs need to be taken into account with every step of management.
Yeah, even before you start like up the MPA, you need to be talking with everybody or it's not going to work anyway. So that collaborative collaborative management and actually collaborative building of an MPA with certain rules and regulations that everyone agrees with will make a better MPA regardless.
Exactly. So make sure you include everybody when you're trying to make any sort of decision involving areas in your local communities. 'Tis important. So the next article that I thought was pretty cool is Facebook and Instagram posts help locate pygmy seahorses in Taiwan.
Pygmy seahorses?
I know. So exciting. They're the cutest. They are the cutest. And this is by Manga Bay. And you know, this is a totally like off topic question. And Allie, help me if you know the answer. But is Manga Bay a place?
I have no idea.
Like, where does that name come from?
I do not know.
I recently saw someone joined Open Channels who works at Manga Bay. So if you are a listener, dear user, please let us know about your name. I Googled it. And I was like, maybe it's a place in California. No, I mean, it's just let us know. I'm very curious.
Yeah, I'm currently Googling it and I do not know. How did Manga Bay happen?
The mystery continues. So, okay, on to the article. The title sort of tells it all, but the story is still very cool to hear. So the study took place in Taiwan, which previously had no recorded pygmy seahorses living in the surrounding waters. So none were recorded off of Taiwan. Dr. Colin and Xiaoling Wen led the study and originally weren't looking at social media for answers. Xiaoling was the first to suggest turning towards Facebook and Instagram, which are very popular in Taiwan as a way to search for any photographic evidence of pygmy seahorses in the area. Their search turned up 75 pictures, and they were able to identify 78 individual seahorses ranging between 5 species of pygmy. It is the first study to find the rare Japanese pygmy seahorse, or the Japan pig, as it's more colloquially known as, outside of Japanese waters, which is so cool, and led to Taiwan becoming one of the world's pygmy seahorse diversity hotspots. I mean, so they went from zero, having zero known pygmy horses in their surrounding waters, to becoming a diversity hotspot from this study.
I want my house to be a diversity hotspot for pygmy seahorses. How do I make that happen?
Right? Right? I mean, I guess just have an environment like Taiwan in your house.
That would be nice.
It would be nice, right? But because of the rarity of a lot of these species, the researchers weren't allowed to go out there and collect any of the pygmies, but they hope to do some collection in the future in order to further validate these claims. For now, pictures are enough, and it's exciting to hear about more pygmy seahorses because a lot of them are exceptionally rare, and it's great to find out that more of them exist because they are so freaking cute.
So adorable. Oh, I love seahorses. So,
I'm actually very happy that I was able to give some good news this week.
Yeah, that's rare for you.
I know. Do you know how good that makes me feel? I'm so glad. It makes me feel great. I hope everyone out there feels great too. Yeah.
I did find the origin of the name Manga Bay, by the way.
Oh, tell me.
Googled intensively. Not really. I'm on Wikipedia. But I did find it on Wikipedia. So it originated from an anglicized spelling and pronunciation of a nosy Mangabe. It was just an island off the coast of Madagascar, which is best known as a preserve for the aye-aye, which is a rare and unusual lemur famous for its bizarre appearance. Just like me. No, I'm kidding.
You actually would make for a great lemur for Halloween somewhere.
I would love that. It's a great idea. Oh, but
that's fascinating, though. All right.
Yeah. I don't understand how the anglicized spelling and pronunciation of nosy Mangabe comes out to Manga Bay, but you know, please take what you can get. Cool. It's a good name.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up Octopod for this week, and we will talk to you all next week.
Yes, talk to you all next week.
Bye. Bye. Everyone.
To dive deeper into the content we talked about this week, check out the episode notes or go to octogroup.org where you can find a link for this podcast. Thank you all for listening in. Please rate us on iTunes or wherever you are listening and give us a shout with any feedback you have. We would love to hear from you.